big, big, big final hour of the show. Rowan Barron going to join us in about 15 minutes' time. General manager, Canada basketball, obviously big, big news coming out of that camp yesterday and the camp they're going to have getting ready for the World Cup coming up at the next month. That'll be in Indonesia. Jamal Murray headlining the roster there. But very, very happy to be joined by our next guest, Travis Sochik. A lot to get into at this time with Major League Baseball. Teams coming out of the All-Star break. We're 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, and we've got some playoff races. Travis, really, really happy to have you join us. Thanks so much for taking the time. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, always happy to stretch our legs at this time of year, get a little deeper into the tentacles elsewhere in baseball. The big story, obviously, let's not sugarcoat it. It's Shohei Ohtani. I think until we get clarity one way or another, the Angels definitively saying they won't trade him, or we do in fact see him traded, it is going to continue to be the biggest story in baseball. Can you see a world where it makes any sense for the Angels not to trade him? I know there's been some talk that maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't want to just hand him over to the Dodgers or the Giants. But I can't see a world where it makes any sense for any organization to look at the package that you can get and would get for Shohei Ohtani and say, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to ride this out.
Yeah, if it looks like they have a very slim mathematical path to the postseason, I do think you have to explore a package for him. Even if you go down in history as the GM who traded Ohtani, it is a chance for, especially for an Angels farm system that isn't that deep, for a team with an aging core. You know, Mike Trout seems to be becoming more injury prone and still a great player, but down from his peak. It is the rare opportunity to flip a player you don't have much remaining control over for probably a pretty substantial package. So if the Angels, I would think they, as the deadline approaches, they're going to look at the reality of their situation, and it's unlikely for them to make much noise in October and consider the packages available, which should be pretty rich.
So the Diamondbacks are coming to town this weekend to take on the Blue Jays, and there's obviously a couple big Blue Jays former guys in the lineup with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno, but I'm just interested in how surprised you are by their successful season now that I think they're tied with the Dodgers atop the NL West. I mean, how surprised are you to see this? Have they been building towards this? This is a nice story for the major leagues.
Yeah, I don't think many folks had them, you know, potentially winning that division, but there were a lot of people in baseball who really liked the young core, Corbin Carroll, Zach Gallen, and thought, you know, this is Alec Thomas and Ketel Marte could possibly bounce back this year, and thought, okay, they have a chance to be in an emerging team and compete for a wild card. So, yeah, if they can win the West, that'd be a surprise. But the fact that they're an emerging young team, I don't know that that's, I think that the expectation was they would arrive as a contender here in the next year or two. And of course they've been helped by the trade they made with the Blue Jays, and we could get into that more, but you know, Gurriel's had a great year, and Moreno looks like he's been up and down with the bat, but defensively he's been excellent, and he's given them a really good catching duo behind the plate. I think they're the number one ranked team in terms of the differential between stolen bases, reducing opponent steals and stealing bases themselves. So that's been one big advantage for them. They're a very athletic young team.
Yeah, they certainly are an athletic group, bolstered, in fact, by one of the great athletes in Gabriel Moreno, who no longer a Blue Jay. As you mentioned, maybe they would have a little bit of a do-over on their end of that trade. You know, looking at the AL East, I think a lot of people would have been shocked to find the Yankees at the second-to-last place in it. What do you think the Blue Jays' path is here to a playoff spot, to potentially that division? I mean, the Yankees, I don't think anybody expects them to kind of hang out in the portion of the standings they've been in. We know what the Orioles have been able to do, and then the Rays just always seem to find this with magic. How do you kind of see the AL East playing out the rest of the way here?
Yeah, the Blue Jays picked the wrong time to try to, you know, be peaking and contending as a team. But you know, the Orioles, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they have they brought a lot of the Astros folks over who built that, and yes, always that 17, 18, 19, Asher Zero will always be tainted by the sign-stealing scandal. But that group really did make the processes they put in place for player development advances and their scouting prowess. That was real, and a lot of the Orioles folks were involved in that, and they've sort of replicated it with probably some improvement in Baltimore, and we're seeing that with such an impressive young core coming together and more behind it in the minor leagues. So they're not going anywhere for quite a few years. And of course the Rays are doing Rays things as they usually do. And the Yankees, you can't lose Aaron Judge. The depth behind Judge, and it's kind of surprising to look at some of the lineups they've been putting out where you're counting on Jake Bowers and guys. So, it's a really tough neighborhood. So I think the Blue Jays probably most likely path to a postseason berth is a wild card, but it's not going to be easy. It's a loaded division, and if they were in the AL Central, Rob Manfred said over the All-Star break they're going to look at expansion once they get the Oakland, Las Vegas, and Tampa Bay stadium situations figured out, and maybe the Blue Jays should look at trying to form a Great Lakes division with the Tigers and Guardians and someone else and get out of there.
I would like that a lot.
Yeah, bit of a better league there for them, Travis. Travis, thank you so much for taking the time. We really, really appreciate you jumping on with us, and enjoy your Friday.
Oh, no problem. Great to be with you guys.
There he goes. Travis Sochik, MLB writer at The Score, co-author, The MVP Machine.
Yeah, that would be nice. Little realignment.
Well, Tigers, blood rival, that would work for you?
Honestly, they probably would just get good. That's the thing with baseball, man. Like,
cyclical.
You know, you can ask about if you want. It's the thing with any sport, realignment. But the whole thing with sports is that stuff gets better, stuff gets worse. But the thing is with the Orioles and...
That's the problem.
They're good for the next 10 years.
Yep.
And they're, like, the crazy thing is how far ahead of the Jays they are now in terms of... They have how many young studs on their roster and how many young studs coming up?
Jackson Holliday. Yeah.
This is the heartbreaking thing that maybe we don't really want to talk about on a Friday right before the Jays are about to get started again. But the Jays' best chance was 2021.
Yep.
When they got really hot in September, when they had Simeon on that team.
Oh, yeah.
When they were a absolute juggernaut. They were unstoppable. And they just played so poorly early in the year.
That was
it. They blew so many stupid games. Like, so many. And that's when you look back. Like that season was the ultimate season for me of when you talk about early in the season. It's like, it's early.
Who cares? You should.
How many games did that? But before they got Simber, before they had such a bad bullpen, they had, Joel Piamps trying to close games out. It was not pretty. And if they had won one extra game, I also think, you can go back to the games they lost, but Marcus Simeon just makes a simple throw to first base and he doesn't bounce it.
Then maybe don't blame him, though.
But no. Like, I know what you're saying. He was the MVP candidate. Yeah. Okay. I won't blame him.
Okay, just saying. But maybe.
If they make the playoffs that year, I legitimately think they might have won the World Series. They were the hottest team in the league. They had the best offense. Their pitching staff was humming. Like, they were a really, really good team then. And I just kind of feel like they've been... Over the last couple of years, maybe not so much the year before, but this year they've just really neutered the offense by trading away Gurriel and Hernandez, and the just feels
and
like
Kirk's off, and
it just doesn't feel like it's as dangerous of a team. And they were just so dangerous there, and that was the year Vladdy was hitting 40 bombs.
But the rotation's better now.
Yeah, I know.
It's tough, right? This is why. And the thing you say, and I think you're right, baseball is cyclical. I mean, we just look at that, again, the quote-unquote putrid AL Central, because it is. Royals won a World Series. White Sox, they've been there. Like, these things are cyclical. The difference being, though, is that in the AL East, I think there are three things that are certain until proven otherwise. The Rays are always going to be there. Some way, somehow, spit, guile, try hard, bubblegum, who knows? They'll find a way.
Yeah.
And the Yankees and Red Sox are going to spend money, so they should be competent.
Maybe not the Red Sox.
Then maybe not the Red Sox. This is fair.
Yeah.
They've said no thanks to Mookie Betts. They actually paid Raffy.
They let the best player in the league walk away. Wow.
I'm genuinely floored. They paid Raffy Devers. I thought that's who the Jays had circled as their third base Matt Chapman replacement forever. Genuinely floored that they paid him. But Yankees are going to spend money. Rays are going to be the Rays. and the O's, with what they've got now and what's in the farm system, they're not going away anytime soon. So for at least the next half a decade, it's going to be another bloodbath of a division, year after year, year after year, year after year. You're basically hoping on the Red Sox to continue going about this way. And again, them being this disaster of a franchise, which for them, they have been for the past handful of seasons, still five games over 500.
Yeah, and I guess it's just, you know, there's probably teams in the West that are like, I'd like to be in the Central. It's just the Central.
Yes.
It's the Centrals in both leagues. Right,
like yeah, but even the Central. I mean, the Brewers, they've had solid teams. The Cubs, World Series champs. Right, like these things are cyclical. It's just the Central is this. The difference is that in your East and West divisions in both sports, you have big money teams that will spend, and in the Central, there are teams that occasionally spend money, but it is always going to be a is it your year in that division, and when it's not, those teams just get out of Dodge. Well, they remove themselves from the equation.
The Detroit Tigers, who are a genuinely awful baseball team,
third in their division,
are 11 games under 500, and they're 5.5 games back of the division lead. That's a joke. That's like, that's borderline. Yep. Like the competition committee's got to get in on this. That's insane.
And they did. They unbalanced the schedule because they knew it was nuts.
I think, I actually do think
or
that
rebalance. Sorry,
they should just go to, conferences.
AL.
Like my dream is it's just like AL and NL, and it's just like top eight gets in. Like you play everybody the same amount of time, just like NHL schedule. Like I know that takes away from the history of the game and division titles and all that stuff. But like,
you're asking me what's fair versus what I would like to see, they're two very different things. I can't explain why. I just think the division matters so much in baseball. The only one I think it matters more in, or I don't even know
and
if
by the
it
way,
does.
Not top eight. It would be top six.
Right. No. Yes. That's how it works. Yes.
Yes.
Four wild cards, or seven, because we have three wild cards, three divisions.
How does playoff baseball
work? Yeah, I know. We do this literally every single year at this time.
Well, no, last year at hockey, we were having beers in the parking lot after, and we were legitimately like,
okay, what's the format?
All of us watch baseball every day. We're like, so how does the playoffs work again?
Is it a best of five, a best of four? What's going on? Yeah, we will have this conversation going forward. Yeah. Another conversation we're going to be very, very happy to have in just a second here. Going to talk to Rowan Barrett, general manager for Canada Basketball. Again, the massive, massive news coming out yesterday. The roster being unveiled for the FIBA World Cup. And we have him on the line right now. Very, very happy to welcome in Rowan Barrett, general manager, Canada Basketball. Weird thing to say when you put a bunch of names on a sheet of paper, but congratulations, Rowan. What a big day it was yesterday. I sound sarcastic, but I mean it honestly. Massive, massive day for basketball in our country. Congrats.
Yeah, no, thank you. And thanks for having me on, guys. Lots of work, as you can imagine, in the background, to make this happen. But I always breathe a little bit easier when I see everybody healthy and running up and down the court. So I'll be holding a vigil here for the next couple of weeks until everybody gets to camp.
You're talking to two guys who believe in luck way too much. We will be doing anything we can, vigil, lighting a candle, saying a prayer, anything we can.
Rowan, I'll wear the same socks from now until then.
Just to keep everybody healthy. Obviously the big name that we saw commit yesterday, it shouldn't come as too much as a surprise because it's not like he hasn't shown up before, but Jamal Murray, I mean, fresh off the year he had, fresh off the injury recovery that he had, what does it mean to the program to get somebody like that to commit? And again, I don't want to make it just about him. There's a ton of talent on this team, but I do feel like for a lot of people that was the headliner.
No, I think it's huge. I mean, I think a guy like Jamal in your roster brings confidence, even greater confidence to your team, just because of his one, now his experience, obviously the winning, but the ability and the guts of the game, you know, to make plays. That you need, knowing that you have a guy that it doesn't seem like there's a stage that's too bright, for him to raise his level. And to your point, we saw him back in 2015 in the Pan Am Games at 18 years old playing against men. You know, he had 22 points in the fourth quarter in overtime to beat the USA. I mean, it almost seems like he's hoping that the game is close so that he can just detonate on the game in the fourth quarter, you know. And so I think when you get a guy like that in the fold, definitely brings more and more confidence to your team.
So, Rowan, how much of this, you know, getting all these incredible names together, was momentum. Like, how much was it that you were asking Jamal Murray and then you're asking Shea and you're asking all these guys and like, oh, that guy's going. Like, how much of this was sort of like a snowball rolling down a hill in terms of getting different guys to commit?
No, you know, I think the first thing is, we decided to change courses on how we operated.
Okay.
Right? And one was to demand commitment over a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. as opposed to an indefinite amount of time for 10 to 15 years. It's like, look, we've got 3 years here, guys. We've got the World Cup and we've got the Olympics, you know?
Yep.
Let's commit for this amount of time. And I think that was one, you know, big thing. I think players knowing also that our pool of athletes is growing and, you know, them wanting to be a part of it, you know? And I think lastly, nothing happens unless the players want it, right? Like, this is their program. I might be the GM here, but it's their program. It moves forward when players decide, I want my country to win. You know, I want my country to be there in the thick of it. You know, that's when you start to see, right, Shea and Jamal and RJ and guys that just jumped up right from the beginning, you know, and said, I'm in, you know, and Dylan Brooks and everybody else. And obviously you have your stalwarts like Kelly Olynyk, who's there every single time he can be, you know, Dwight Powell and everybody else against Jordan. So it's I don't know how much of it was a C kind of slowly coming along as much as, you know, there's responsibility, I think, in these men wanting to see our country move forward. And this is our time.
Yeah, and you're talking about the buy-in from the players. And, of course, that's where it all has to come from. But what does it say about, maybe it says something about the buy-in from the players. Maybe it says something about the strength of the program right now that, I mean, we had a coaching change within the last handful of weeks here, maybe a month ago, if I'm getting my dates correct. What does it say about the program that, you know, the new coach in Jordy Fernandez was able to get everybody to buy in, be on the page? You know, I know some of the, or I won't speak for you, I imagine some of the decisions on him being the guy with some of the relationships he had with the players. What does it say about the spot the program's in that there was a coaching change and you still see this much commitment?
Yeah, I think it's culture, right? And I think it's exactly kind of like I laid it out, is the players are taking responsibility and saying, I want my country to win. I'm not going to allow, you know, somebody to come and trample on our flag. And I think that when this is the mindset, When you're in your NBA team and you're in the locker room, like, you don't want to hear the Spaniards, you know, and the Slovenians and the French, you know, and everybody talking about what they did in the summer and what they're going to do to you, you know.
Totally.
You want to be able to say, look, hey, we're going to be here in force, you know. You know you have to go through me to do that. And I think that you're seeing that more with our guys. And so even through a coaching change, you know, our guys have a vision for what they want for themselves, what they want for their country. And, you know, as I said, you know, this is our time.
Just from a basketball perspective, and again, I don't want to make this about one or two players, but I think everybody, when they look at the strength of this team, is going to say, that's not a good NBA backcourt in Shea and Jamal.
Yeah,
that
isn't
all NBA backcourt in those two. Just from a team building perspective, and again, I'm not talking about the guys you've asked or the guys that have commitment or have committed, but what does it do to the rest of the roster when you're able to start with a building block like the backcourt that you have there?
Yeah, look, I think our backcourt, you know, should be able to be competitive with anybody in the world, you know, for sure. But I also think we have a number of other positions that I'm sure many countries would love to have, you know, in their teams as well. But I think that no matter what, this is not an all-star team. You know what I mean? Like, we've got to build the best team, and we've got to get everybody buying in and coalescing together, right? And that means some people might not have the same role that they have all the time, you know, in their own environment. You know, this might not be a situation where you're coming in to take 25 shots in a game, you know. We might have to share it around a little bit. And FIBA is a game that, you know, once they see one guy just trying to key and trying to take over all the time, they stifle you. Like, you are forced to play together. And so, for me, I think that's our biggest question, right, is making sure that we're all on the same page, that we're accepting our roles, and that we're putting the best team on the floor, not the best team of NBA players, but the best Canadian team that we can put on the floor. And that might also include some guys from the winter windows, you know, that play for us, guys that are playing overseas. Look, somebody's got to set the screen. I mean, if Jamal's going to shoot it, somebody's got to set the screen, right? And if he misses, we got to get the rebound, right? Somebody's got to muck it up and stick their nose in there and get dirty if somebody's trying to come off to shoot a bunch of threes.
Seems like you got a couple of those guys.
Yeah, somebody's got to get up underneath them and let them know it's not going to happen today. And so you have to have a mixture within your team to make the best team, and that doesn't always necessarily mean it's all the best players. You got to make the best team to give ourselves the best chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of things you mentioned there. I mean, I keep going back to Jamal and Shea. I think a lot of people do. But the two other names that jumped out to me just from a tournament basketball perspective, and I know I mean this as a compliment, I could not imagine anything more annoying than playing both Dylan Brooks and Lu Dort in a tournament. Yeah. Like, one of them would be annoying enough. The idea that, and again, I'm not coaching for you or Fernandez, the idea of you throw them out there together, super annoying. You can have one of them out there pretty much the whole game. It does give you guys a lot of options in that regard, and I love what you're saying there about the idea of not just building an all-star team. And again, the two names that jumped out at the bottom of the list I saw were the Scrub brothers, right? You want to talk about guys who have been with the program forever when it was far different names than this on there. It's great to see, Rowan.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you're going to win in FIBA, there's some sandpaper needed, and I can remember playing with Steve Nash back in the day when we were going to the Olympics. And look, at some point in a game, when a team realizes, okay, they can't stop what you're doing, the game gets physical, right? It gets physical and somebody's trying to, they're trying to take you out of the air, or they're trying to hurt you. And look, you need somebody in your team that's going to say, look, I mean, hey, bring him to my side. Rowan, bring him over to my side, right? So that I can touch him up a little bit, right? So that we can even out the physicality in the game. All of those kinds of things are going to be, relevant. As we go to play, there's going to be tactics. There's going to be, passion. There's going to be all these things. But there's going to also be some rough stuff, and you're going to need some sandpaper if you're going to. And if not, they'll just run right through you, right? Mm-hmm. They'll run right over you. The word will get out quickly. You can out-physical this team. We are not going to build a team, that you can run through. And so, we're ready. Obviously, the coach. A large part of the job is done in bringing all the players into the storehouse here. And together with our coaching staff and with Jordy and with David Blatt and the group and the crew, we're going to, work to pick the best team that we believe can weather the storms of these tournaments and be ready to come back and hit you, game after game after game.
So, Rowan, I just want to ask you before we let you go here about one of the names that people obviously were looking for when it came out, and Andrew Wiggins. I just would like to know what the conversations were with him, the absence here for the World Cup. What were the conversations like with Andrew Wiggins before this tournament?
Yeah, I think that, with Andrew, clearly anybody watching with two eyes could see this was a tumultuous year for him, right? He missed a significant amount of time away from his NBA team. Mm-hmm. And, had some real challenges there to deal with, and then, kind of topped it off in the end with an injury, with his ribs. And, it's always challenging to work with an athlete and their NBA team, especially when they're finishing the season with an injury. They usually like to see them coming back healthy, before they're going on the floor to play, with their country and that. So, that was always going to be a challenge. But again, I think for us right now, our focus was to work with the players that have committed for this squad, right? That have been there, that understand the changes that we've made, understood where we wanted to go systematically. And those players are in the fold, and our focus will remain, on those players that are in the fold.
So I don't want to belabor the point because, again, I was very cognizant of the fact when talking about this that I knew Wiggins was going to be a big topic, but I think the big news is the guys who are here, and we don't need to focus on that. But I think a lot of people would hear that answer, and then the natural follow-up would be, is the door closed for 24 and the Olympics? Another name and note, Benedict Mathurin, obviously pretty big NBA season for him. I'm not asking you to definitively state one way or another, but is the door still open for those guys for 2024 despite a short? Should this summer go the way you want, despite them not being part of the World Cup tournament?
I think continuity and cohesion is our focus, right? And I think, it's really difficult if a team goes ahead and qualifies for the Olympics to come in the next year and say, okay, hey, you're out now. We're going to put somebody else in. I think that's a very difficult thing to do. That being said, things happen, right? People get injured. Different things happen where there could be openings, right? If there's impact to the roster in some way. But I think, as I shared, for us, our focus right now is these guys that have committed. And look, I mean, with or without, these players that you're speaking to, our focus is to win. And I think a number of years ago, we embarked on this understanding this could be a challenge. We wanted to move away from being a country that, you know, if one or two players don't play in a summer, we just don't have a chance to compete. You know, we wanted to move past that. And so we put a lot of time into developing these young players and building our team and building our system to a place that we can miss one player, we can miss two players, you know, and still put together a team that can compete in the world. We can't just not choose to compete because we miss a player, you know. And so thankfully, we've done that. We've built a group of players that we can choose from. And look, I mean, you know, when you have 20-plus NBA players, you know, the other thing is if everybody did come and everybody was here and everybody was committed, we'd have to cut some players, right? Like, we might have to cut double-digit NBA players, right?
Crazy.
And so then your question would be, well, why did we cut that guy? You know, why were we thinking about that? You know, so there'll always be some sort of question. I think our focus is to work with the guys we have committed and make this the best team that we can to go forward and achieve the goal.
A little less than 42 days before the World Cup starts. Again, what an awesome day it was for Canada basketball. I hope there's a lot more awesome ones coming in the month of August. Cannot wait for that tournament. And we will both be up. I'm making my co-host promise right now. We're getting up at 4 a.m. to watch those games, Ron.
Awesome, guys. Thanks.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, there he goes. Rowan Barrett, general manager, Canada basketball. Also, Canada basketball dad, RJ, on the team.
I think RJ has to go.
That'd be a tough sell.
Dad, I don't know.
It'd be like me trying not to come back home for like a barbecue in the summer. Like, you don't understand. All the boys are going to Cabo.
Your mother wants to see you.
No, obviously. Very, very well-deserving player in his own right on the team. Love everything. Can Rowan Barrett, well, I guess this is naturally shade. No shade at Brad for living. Can Rowan Barrett be the Leafs GM? He basically gave the Brian Burke speech in the middle of it. We're going to want pugnacity and toughness and truculence.
Yeah,
love that from him.
But
he's right.
That's one of the most underrated things about basketball and international basketball specifically.
Scrappy, chippy.
You're playing against those teams and like those boys just are grinding you.
It's the Nikolai Jokic clip of like, is he effective? I played in Serbia, brother. Yeah, it's a different
animal. And like, it's just, you need guys that aren't afraid of that contact. I do worry about Dylan Brooks.
Like poking the bear?
No, not even poking the bear.
Because
like,
he did. He poked LeBron.
Yeah,
saw that
was bad.
Yeah,
that went really bad.
Really bad. That was like on the Mount Rushmore of moments. I was like, we don't need to talk about where he's born.
No, I know. I didn't enjoy that.
But weren't into that. No.
I think if you go into this tournament, that they'll be able to talk to him and be like, hey, man, you're not shooting as much as you do in the NBA. You're not doing this. Like, you are coming here as a penalty kill guy, quote unquote. Like, you're coming you're coming here to get in the guy's grill, play hard defense, you know, make game changing plays, get the ball going the other way, kind of thing, as opposed to just like being a shooter, a scorer.
Just
plus
pretend
that
you play defense for Duke. A lot of slapping the floor, a lot of arms out. That's
what
we want.
Between him and the Dorcher Chamber.
The Dorcher Chamber.
You never heard that?
I have somehow had not heard that one.
The Dorcher Chamber is a thing. Like, stay away from that. That is not going to be any fun for opposing guards. And that's what you need. All these, like, European squads.
Imagine how unfun it is if you're an opposing guard. Go check Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and then have Lou Dort put you in the Dorcher Chamber.
Well, I watch, like, every time I watch international basketball, I'm like, who's this guard for Slovenia who's the best guy I've ever seen in my life?
Good was Thomas Zadaransky for Czechia?
It's like France. Who's France's point guard? Is it still Tony Parker? It's like unbelievable still. It's
50, just like
as soon as you get these
carrying
like
a glass of Bordeaux down the court.
I guarantee Brazil's guard is just the nastiest dude ever. Like, they've played together their whole lives and they just are so gritty, and you need a guy that's going to stand in there and stand in his face and get in there. Obviously,
you need your Kyle Lowry type is what you need.
You need scoring.
Yep.
But
got it.
Jamal Murray's not going to back down from anybody. He's in people's grill. You know what he likes to do. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is the perfect international guy. Long, lanky,
so big,
good passer, like good around the rim. Like, he's perfect for it.
Olynyk, a skilly big, which you want too.
I love this squad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you right now, love is not a strong enough word for it. I might even get a jersey. Like,
ooh, I'm here for
it. I've never loved our jerseys. Like, I never thought we've nailed them.
No, we haven't.
I don't think I love the ones that they have now, but I would love to get like a Lou Dort
Canada I picked the jersey. Wrong day. I had like my Canada basketball shooting shirt on yesterday.
That might be like the biggest Coachella jersey ever. No, is Lou Dort Canada?
No, Will Lou said it. It's Oshaga for that. Oh, that's right, Oshaga right. jersey.
That's an Oshaga jersey.
Yeah, very, very but much is.
It's just like you can hear the excitement in Rowan's voice. Totally. Right? And like I feel bad asking about the guys who aren't there.
No, you have to.
But I'm not going to not ask about Wiggins, and he's right. A little bit of it.
How about me putting the screws to him?
Great job by you.
Journalist.
But like, you know, rib injury. Like, oh, that can't heal in 6 months. Like, come on.
Like, I mean, you're not wrong.
No, I mean, come on. Like, I wasn't going to say that to Rowan. Like, hey, I mean, ribs, do they heal in 6 months?
Yeah.
But.
Given everything that happened,
and like,
Warriors,
guess what? RJ
that.
Will give you a just fine
totally.
Andrew Wiggins impression. He'll be really good at it, aka maybe better.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And Mathurin is another guy who he's one of that kind of next generation, right? That's the most important thing you can have for a country like Canada is kind of the melding of your generations. Mm-hmm. This is all kind of the same class for the most part, but Mathurin, RJ, they represent the kind of next wave, and you need it to happen. You need waves to build on top of each other. That's how you become a great basketball power, and yeah, I would expect that's a tough conversation to have with, I'm just going to pick on two guys who have the same last name, the Scrub Brothers.
Yeah, the Scrubs.
I have a feeling they might be playing TLC when Ben Thurin and Andrew Wiggins start waltzing onto the court in Paris next year because they don't want no scrubs.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't think they'd make space?
I don't know if they would. Like,
depends how it goes.
It'd be different to me.
Well, because the problem is that these aren't guys you just put in, right? You change
the whole team.
To Rowan's point, it's not an all-star team, right? Mathurin's coming in to shoot, handle the ball.
Well, the thing is to me.
Same with Wiggins.
It'd be different if Wiggins was there every time they called, and this is the one time he wasn't.
He couldn't, but
he doesn't really pick up the call whole.
He has not.
Lot, so,
traditionally, no.
So that's the part to me that would be like, if I'm Rowan, I'd be like, we just qualified with a 6 starting lineup, and you know, first of all, like my son plays in your position, he played great, and we qualified. You know, it's like I don't know, man. I could see a world where he doesn't get in.
Well, and this is the old. Like, I realize that, you know, maybe this is too lofty a theory, but is this the Bill Simmons Ewing theory potential for Canada basketball, right?
I mean, that would play more if they don't have, like, all their best players ever.
Other than him?
Yeah.
Awesome to hear it again. So 41 days, 21 hours, 26 minutes, and 19 seconds until the World Cup of Basketball gets going in Jakarta, Indonesia. So good luck there. Again, 4 a.m. game times. We will be up grinding just like Lou Dort and Dylan Brooks are, probably screaming in the face and clapping of some guy who does not play in the NBA. I actually cannot wait to start my day with that. Coffee golf is pretty good. It's the exact opposite vibe. I'm just like, oh, yeah, look at that. Nice little chip from Justin Thomas.
By the way, Rory just teed off.
Did he?
Yeah, he just teed off. Oh, I think 8:15 he teed off.
I really thought that was a 10:15 our time thing, and I was going to be able to get home on the couch and watch all of my boy. That's okay. He's going to play great, just like he did yesterday. So, again, awesome day for Canada basketball. Go to sportsnet.ca. Grange, great write-up on everything they are. Can give you the particulars of what they need to do. Long story short, they got to be the second-best team of the Americas because America is going to be the first-best team out of them. You gave us
shock
the C-Squad.
Shock the world, baby!
Yeah, hey, I would love to see it.
God, that's a good C-Squad.
RJ Barrett shocked the world, right? When he was at the U18s in Cairo. One of my great memories of him. I'm not going to pretend to have a whole lot of others, but that is definitely one of them.
We beat them in soccer. Which everyone thought was impossible. We beat them in soccer on our home field. We tied them there.
That's true. You were there.
Shock the world, baby.
Oh, and actually, I'm happy Austin told us about this. I meant to get this in the first block of the show.
Oh.
If you want success, you come on the Fan Morning Show.
Oh,
with us specifically. Now, Rowan Barrett just put together an awesome squad, and we will still consider this the Fan Morning Show bump when they do great at the World Cup 2 months from now, basically. Yes. Somehow that still counts for us. But Bo Van Pelt came on with us yesterday, despite the fact that he was competing in a PGA Tour event that day to give us hot Rory opinions.
He was excellent.
Excellent. Again, I told you, Austin knows golf, got us a couple of great golf guests yesterday. And now he's T8th at the Barbasol.
What did he shoot yesterday?
I believe he was a 66, I believe. You got to go low.
That'll play.
That'll work. So, hey, I'm just saying, Any, even if you're not a professional golfer, you're just a radio guest who's going to play a little, maybe you come on with us, get a little bump, maybe you get that career low score. All right, Grinders. Can anybody beat the wet pit from yesterday? We got one guy that's come pretty close. I'm going to make Sam McKee read it because I'm a little scared to. Get in your Grinder text. Let us know. Also, anything else you want to talk about. Do you remember the great topic you stumbled upon earlier in the show and you said we should have done this on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, it was
hobby horse take?
Your hobby horse take.
Sports. Well, it was like sports.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. I can only think of one, but I'll have to think in the break.
Okay, we'll have to think of some more in the break. Get your text in. 590-590. 20 minutes left before we're officially into our Friday. More to show continues here on Sportsnet. I've died of the fan.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know the pandemic has altered my brain because this always sounds like it's Pfizer again to me, but it's not. It's Friday again. Sam McKee, Brent Gutting here, Fan Morning Show. You have got yourself standing.
Yeah.
Back is tight.
Yeah,
just wanted to stretch the gams out. What's going on here?
I know we're not going to use this for the camera.
What if I said the most profound thing I've ever said in my life?
I would do the whole show standing if I could.
This is super inside the business. When I was at radio broadcasting school at Humber College, a lot of people said, stand up, do it. Gets the diaphragm open. You can project. You're a little, this is actually.
Am I making you uncomfortable?
No, not at all. This is more of a tip for you is just like, it wakes you up.
Yeah.
So maybe you shouldn't do the last block of the show standing.
I should do the first block.
You should do the first block
but
of the show standing.
We've done videos from our first block the last couple of days.
So. I gotta say.
Boy, people were mad about that Nylander trade.
They did not like it.
Hate mail.
So I'm disgusted with a little friend group I got. Sometimes I put out the bat signal to them. You know, you like to workshop a take.
Yeah.
And I was throwing out trades and I'm like, hey, what do we think? I know these probably aren't there. I just got thumbs down to all of them, except for my will never happen trade of Nylander Carlson? For Mo Sider. That was the only one. They're would do. Yeah. Kygo, thumbs
up. I forgot about that one.
And the exclamation.
Good thing we didn't put that one on socials.
Well, no, look, I came to the mic saying, I know this is unfair. Tell me how much. There was a workshop idea that was not my hardcore proposal. There's a reason it was the last one I gave.
I thought that the fact that everyone on both sides was calling me a Dumbo made it.
At least plausible.
That's good.
I still think you're asking for a lot for Lafreniere for basically Cali Yarncroke and Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
That's
I was asking a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a Leafs guy.
Okay. I'm not going to knock you for it. I just,
a lot of people saying Rangers hang up and I was surprised by that.
Rangers do hang up because they don't want to just give you Alexi Lafreniere for nothing.
I think they would listen. They'd have a meeting.
They would listen to the body of that trade that I gave out.
Yeah.
That was just, I always forget which one is there. Coleman, right?
Barkley Goodrow.
Yes. Okay. I always forget. They're the same guy. They played for Tampa. Yeah. They both went to respective teams.
They were $100 million over the cap.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I'm very much here for that.
So
you threw out.
Oh yeah. You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
We asked for the sports conspiracy theories and your hobby horse take. I couldn't have asked for a better one from Nolan Etobicoke. Sports conspiracy. No Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup since Gary Bettman has been the commissioner. Ooh, can we get a ooh?
Sandman hates when you throw a drop request on him at the very last minute. He doesn't have it. I'll just do it for you.
Ooh. I love that because it's just a factual truth.
I was just
going to
say, it's our conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. They sell milk in a bag in Ontario. It's just a fact. It's just a true thing. Now you can love it as much or as little as you want. You can think it's happenstance. Yeah. You can think it's just one of those things. Or you could think like me. It's maybe a little more to it than that. Where are you at on that one?
Well, I think hockey's a weird game. Okay.
Literally frozen rubber on ice.
Yeah, it's a hard one to predict, and I think
it's why the spread in every hockey game is 1.5. Yeah.
I don't think there's a way to rig it like there is other sports.
Okay.
Like, I think it's by far the hardest sport to rig. Don't you think?
Now this goes against this specific conspiracy theory, but if I was going to rig it for somebody, I would probably give them 4 out of like 7 first overall picks, including the greatest talent to come out of his generation. I'd probably do that.
Oilers?
But that goes against the conspiracy theory, because why would they want to do that?
They could have rigged it for the Leafs.
Well,
and they always should have.
They always should have.
Yeah. They really should have.
Everybody, literally everybody would have been happier.
Yeah.
I would have been happier. Gary would have been happier.
I would have been happier.
Let me tell you who else would have been happier.
Connor McDavid.
Old 97 cruising around in a different blue and white. He would have been happier too. I do kind of believe that one.
Okay. This is, we can buy milk in a plastic bag. You can buy mustard in a plastic bottle. You can buy your salad in a plastic bag, but you can't get a plastic bag to carry them home in.
What is it? Oh, okay.
That's not a conspiracy theory.
Just, again, that's just true. You're just doing, I really thought you were just doing a Mitch Hedberg joke on the air. It's like what I thought was happening there. Hey, man, what's up with cats? Like, Mitch Hedberg, now co-hosting the show, the ghost of him.
This has been one of my gripes forever.
I know.
It's like, great. I can't get a plastic bag, but I can buy this other kind of plastic for 30 cents that certainly will never end up in a landfill, ever.
I'm not going to pretend to know the particulars there. Something I would imagine, plastic bag probably breaking down a little less cleanly than plastic bottle. But
there
we don't
go.
Need to
Nailed
get
it.
You don't need my environment takes.
So the one that I always hear.
If you want to see the text line angry, we'll do that.
The one that we always hear is that the Raptors get a bad whistle. And actually, Raptors fans in general are like really big sports conspiracy people.
Yes.
They think the league's against them.
Yes.
They are very like, anytime, it's like, what do you think with the Raptors?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, what do you get that look on your face? Like, you.
Well, I mean, I don't think the league is against the Raptors.
Oh, boy.
But if they had their druthers, if the league was power ranking all of the champions they could have.
They wouldn't be last.
I don't think they would be dead last.
Charlotte, number one.
I was going to say they'd be 30th, though.
Charlotte.
Okay, keep going.
I think they'd rather have New Orleans. I think they'd rather have the Raptors win than New Orleans.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
The idea of an NBA champion in New Orleans, like Mardi Gras, parade down the street. It's a big party town. I think they would love an NBA champ in New Orleans.
You think so?
Yeah. They've literally bought the franchise to save it from moving during the hurricane. I think they would very much like that to happen.
Okay.
Keep going. Charlotte, I'll give you. Charlotte, although they just got a new owner, so maybe they want to gift him something good.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
I can't think of any NBA
Portland?
Teams,
like Portland?
No.
No, they'd rather Portland. Portland's a great market.
It's a classic
franchise. It's a classic franchise. You go back to the Walton era and Drexler and all that. Bulls, the Bucks. Like, even, again, like even an also-ran franchise, like the Bucks. Better for the NBA that they do well than the Raptors do. And who is the and the one time the Raptors get the first overall pick? It's the Bargnani year? Come on.
OKC?
In Raps. A vacuum, Raps.
Yeah.
But all that young talent, OKC.
But I can't find another team.
Yeah, you can't.
No,
you
I can't. Wizards?
No.
Rather, Wizards
no,
for sure.
No, like Wizards is a great sports market, like a return to glory.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They got a great nickname. Like, you would love to see it.
I'm struggling here.
You can't do it.
I think Raptors are third.
They really are.
Yeah,
really, really are. So, yeah, I don't think the league is biased against them, but I think when push comes to shove, there are just a lot of other teams they would like to see succeed ahead of them.
I love all the draft rigging conspiracies. The frozen envelope in the NBA is an all-timer.
Of course.
I think there was a frozen envelope for Sid.
Yep.
Because it saved the Penguins.
Oh, my God. Do you think that happened?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so do I.
I think that one for sure. Obviously not Connor. Connor was clearly not rigged.
No. If McDavid was rigged, he would be a Leaf right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Like Bedard, people were saying was rigged.
No, if anything, you run away from Chicago. I realize of all the teams that were kind of in the mix, that's the best like hockey market.
Yeah.
But do you think the league wanted everybody to do 4 days of how dare the NHL reward the Blackhawks for this?
Right.
Not a chance.
You're
not
right.
a chance.
So
not
I'm,
a chance.
I'm trying to think of other ones, but I can't really think of any other ones right now.
That's it. It's McDavid, the Matthews one. People talked about it of like, did they rig that for the Leafs to make up for McDavid? Good. They should have, but they missed it by a year.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So I have no problem with that. And then I've talked about this is that the inverse of the Raptors theory, like the league knows the best thing for it would be for the Leafs to win. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like, not with the actual on-ice officiating, but with the way the Leafs are handled by the league, mm-hmm. I always feel like it's like you're in Little League and your dad's umping. And more times than not, he just calls it as he sees it. But if it's really, really tight, probably going to go against you because he doesn't want to hear that he's being biased in favor of his kid. Wow. That's my take. The Leafs, just all they ever do is bend over to help the NHL. No one else was willing to do the Amazon series. They did it. They took arrows.
Well, that was Kyle Dubas.
Okay.
Because he watched his beloved Man City do it. He's okay. Like, we should do that.
And do you know who else, I guarantee you, co-signed it? Brendan Shanahan. He would have definitely co-signed that as well. When I look at them going over to Sweden, they have to go play these games in the middle of Sweden with all these other teams who aren't going to accomplish anything next year, but they got to go.
Have the Leafs gone over before?
No, but who cares? They shouldn't have to.
Well, I mean, I think every team in the league does it. All the teams.
Well, I don't think every team in the league has done it.
They've done it a ton of times.
Yeah, but not. There's usually a hook, and
season they're doing that?
Yeah, they're playing the Sens.
In the first game?
No, it's not to start the, I think it's in November or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not hear about that?
I don't know, because you are apparently not bogged down and being mad about the Leafs 24/7.
I just don't care.
I know you don't.
As soon as the season's over and I talk about them sucking for 2 weeks in the free agencies, I'm like, well, the next season.
I
go straight into maybe next year.
I don't know that I ever stop working myself into a lather about the Leafs. The draft rigging for Las Vegas to become the best expansion franchise ever. That was a draft rigging. That was stupidity by their NHL GMs.
I think other GMs didn't understand it. Here's Shea Theodore for some reason.
You can just have him.
Here's Jonathan Marchessault.
You don't take
They took Riley Smith and Marchessault, so you didn't take who was
a defenseman that was a problem contract. Yeah, it was just not good. There was really, really, really a lot of bad decisions being made by other teams. That's not a conspiracy theory. People can be dumb.
The squids are good too, though.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something to that. But they stunk first year. Okay. They didn't make the cup final.
Hear me out. Fold the Leafs, bring them back as an expansion franchise called the Toronto Maple Leafs, and maybe that's what we need to fix everything? No.
You mean you think they'd just be better?
Yeah, honestly.
I think if you just change the name, they'd be better.
Huskies? Steal the Raptors?
If you just change the name of the team, they'd finally...
You know me. I think there's a stink. I don't know what we did. Somebody's father one day did something many, many moons ago and we'll never, ever recover from it.
The thing is that they're, you know, Kipper and Bourne and I, we talked about an expansion franchise, like if the teams ever split off and there's just no question in my mind. Markham Waxers 2.0
immediately
win the cup in the first 5 years.
Dynasty. Yeah. Forget that. Yeah. They're marching it right down to Scotiabank. They're like renting out Maple Leaf Square for parties. Yeah, I've never been more certain of anything in my life. And that's why I've never wanted anything less in my life than a second NHL team anywhere around. Well, I mean, it'd be great for the banter, but it would torture my soul.
The shame.
Yeah.
On the people that switched.
Oh my God. We'd have a good old shame fest. It would be like every day just dragging someone, court-martialing them on the air. How dare you do this to your beloved Leafs? Sammy.
We made it.
Really, I'm more proud of you. I knew I was going to get here. I have my doubts about you, to be perfectly honest. There we go. The Real Grinders today, let me give a shout-out to the Real Grinders involved in this show. It's the guys who are here when we walk in every day. Santman, Mackie, Al the intern, the three of them in here when we get in every day. Shout out to them for grinding. Shout out to you for listening. We'll be back on Monday, but back tomorrow with the golf show. Keep on listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.